Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. My name is Robert Winters. I think I remembered that correctly. And today is July 21st, 2026. Remarkable how often I mistake the date or my name, even. Welcome back. I didn't do the scheduled show 2 weeks ago, largely because some of the incidents that happened in Cambridge, of which I will speak shortly, it was a little bit overwhelming. Would like to sort of get on with that a little bit here today. So first thing I wanted to just mention it, just because this does occur to me periodically, that I do think about these things that, in addition to this, in some respects, Cambridge Inside Out is a bit of an outgrowth of the Cambridge Civic Journal. And as amazing as it is to me, as it seems to me, this coming September will actually mark 29 years since I started doing it way back in 1997. I will be continuing to do it, I'm sure, into the foreseeable future. But I will have to say that there have been times lately, especially when sort of responding or even thinking about or following what's been happening up at like at City Hall and Cambridge City Council and some of the actions, not only this year but over recent years, where it can get pretty disheartening, honestly. I have pretty much solid respect for 2 out of 9 city councilors, and I used to get along with most people in most city departments. There are some city departments which I really have serious questions about now. So it's not as easy as it once was, but I'm going to continue soldiering on. Maybe I will ask for a little help here and there, just to kind of continue. I am often reminded of a campaign pitch from a candidate named Ian McKinnon back in 1997, when he was trying to sell himself as a candidate for Cambridge City Council. And he just his quote was, "Hire better actors." And I think about that sometimes. Maybe that's what we need, is some better actors, honestly, because I am not of the belief that the 9 people who are supposedly representing us right now are especially representative of the people of the city, nor are their priorities particularly representative of the desires of the people of the city. At least that's one man's opinion. Feel free to disagree. Now, let me get on to something pretty serious here. Okay, so on July 4th, in the morning of, I guess it was the morning of July 4th, or it was late at night now, I actually can't even remember now. But a man named Xavier Batista, who was a city employee, worked for the Department of Public Works in the Sanitation Division, was murdered at Senate Park, right near the intersection with Broadway and Norfolk Street. And we don't have that much in the way of gun violence in this city, but as was pointed out at a community meeting 4 days later, the experience of people of Cambridge varies greatly depending on what neighborhood you live in. I live in mid-Cambridge. It's really only about 5 or 6 blocks from where the murder occurred, but even that distance of 5 or 6 blocks, it largely insulates me from much of the violence and threats of violence that exist in other parts of the city, including some parts of the port, formerly known as Area 4. I think that's just a reality. And I think people need to just acknowledge that, is that, Cambridge is not one big, unified, happy city where everybody shares the same privilege or the same level of safety or just the same experiences. Just generally, we are not one city. We really are not, and that's become more abundantly clear to me lately than it has been really for all the many years that I've lived here, which is now almost 50 years here. So anyway, what happened when the murder took place, as soon as I heard about it, as I often do, and really it was nearby, I walked down there, and there was somebody from NBC Boston with a camera apparatus. I talked to this person and, got a little bit of information. But even the person from NBC Boston seemed to be just spewing speculation and not a whole lot of fact. A lot was unknown at that point. But one thing that struck me, and again, I didn't mean to make this such a big deal, but it sort of was so abundantly in front of me, was that just like 10 or 15 feet from where Xavier's body was found, there were these posters on a lamppost, calling for the elimination of the ShotSpotter technology that the Cambridge police had been using for, actually, I'm not even sure how many years it was in place. And that just really sort of stuck in my craw. I'm not in any way suggesting that ShotSpotter would have prevented this tragedy, though it may very well have actually allowed for a more rapid emergency response. First responders, if they had known this person was there, might have been able to go there, look around, and see that there was somebody bleeding out in the street. Now, I'm not going to say flat out that the city council vote to remove ShotSpotter technology is somehow, I'm not going to say that it's a causal relationship here. But boy, was it a loud, screaming reminder of the misplaced priorities of some of our elected officials. And I do want to say our elected officials, because the removal of the ShotSpotter technology was not supported by the city manager, and it was certainly not supported by the Cambridge police, and this specifically the commissioner of police, Pauline Wells. Yet political people, who apparently do not know how to stay in their lane, seem to feel that they somehow had sufficient expertise to somehow outweigh the people whose job it is really to enforce laws and protect the public. So I don't want to single anybody out and say, I'm sorry, you're responsible for the death of a person here. But the thing is that the proximity is something that just I cannot get out of my mind. It's just there, you know. Anyway, thankfully, about, I think, let's see, there was a community meeting about this on, so the murder took place on July 4th. And then there was a community meeting the following Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday, July at the Cambridge Senior Center. Now, I don't usually go to these meetings, honestly, because if there's been a tragedy that took place, I always find it somewhat kind of voyeuristic to be sort of, witnessing the pain and suffering of family members just for the sake of seeing it. I mean, it's pain enough for them, But there was this time here was a little bit different for me. So I wanted to be there, and I went to the meeting, and most of the people who were assembled there at this meeting were persons of color and people who primarily lived in the area where this took place. There were also family members, a fiance, sister, a cousin. And yes, there were political people there, including, I believe, seven of the city councilors actually were there. I have to say, thankfully, most of them chose not to speak. And save for Councillor Simmons, who, when she spoke with some authority as she lives in the neighborhood. But political people have a tendency to kick into political speech making whenever there are events, and it's quite thoroughly inappropriate to be doing so. But sometimes they simply can't help themselves. So I think we were somewhat blessed by the fact that most of them chose not to speak, and that was a good thing. There were some real missteps, and again, I'm not trying to beat anybody up in saying this here, but our city manager, who is, I think, is a good manager, a good man, maybe made a blunder in simply declaring, says, "Well, Cambridge is a safe city." Statistically speaking, that's an accurate statement. But I think when you're in a room with people who've just lost a very close relative, who do not particularly feel safe where they live, and as I learned at this meeting, that same family actually lost another relative a few years in a murder just a few blocks from there. For the city manager just to make a declaration that Cambridge is a safe city, even if statistically correct, is inadvertently insensitive to have said that. And I think he got called on the carpet by some of the assembled people there for having just made such a generic statement as that. Now, I know a fair amount about Cambridge history, and I've lived here for 50 years, not born and raised here. And that is a difference, by the way. Let's be really clear. The experience of somebody who was born and raised here, went to high school here, went to grade school here, had a lot of relatives here, is always going to be different from somebody like me who came here to go to graduate school and stayed. We are part of the two different cities that are there. But I have to say, even if I felt I knew and had a good sense about this city, there were some things said specifically by family members there that really opened my eyes and forced me to really sort of think about the reality of the fact that we are not one single unified city, and that the lives of some people really are fundamentally different than those the lives of some others, including me, There's one person in particular I'll single out, which was Helen Casey, who was the cousin of Xavier Batista, the man who died, who was, and I'll say it frankly, who was quite wonderful at just cutting through the bullshit and just saying it like it is. And I appreciated him, kind of made it my business to get to know who he is, because I think we kind of need more people to be more direct talking people like that. Right. Now, a few days later, actually, I think it was the very same day that there was the funeral for Xavier. The police did announce that they actually had made an arrest. Now, the reason why they were able to make the arrest, and there may have been other factors as well, was not because the city had technology available, because they took it away, but because neighbors had things like Ring cameras. And the Cambridge police are pretty good at sort of surveying the area, getting to, knowing the neighbors, and being able to actually get some video footage that enabled them to make the arrest. So there was one ne'er-do-well in Canton who was the person who was named, and is presumably in prison and will hopefully stay in prison for a very long time. My view should be for the rest of his life. But due process is to come. There were other people there too. Now, whether this was one of these gang initiation things or just some opportunistic bastards looking for somebody, at 4:30 in the morning, I don't know. I'll leave that to the police to determine all of those things, and not only the police, but also the Middlesex County District Attorney's Office. But it this was a very unsettling period of days and weeks. I will single out a few people who spoke at that community meeting who I think really seemed to get it. One was former city councilor, former vice mayor Dennis Benzan, right, who who operates La Fabrica restaurant in Central Square, Anthony Galluccio. And I gotta say, when you hear Anthony speaking so authoritatively, like he really knows the city and grew up here, and you compare that to some of the current people who are filling the seats on the Cambridge City Council, it really kind of makes me miss the days when we had people like Anthony Galluccio and Ken Reeves and others on the Cambridge City Council, rather than this sort of artificial mass of nothingness that we have right now, with a couple of exceptions. Anyway, it was an eye-opening experience. Also assembled there were some of the people whose shallow-minded political nonsense actually. So I'm specifically talking to some of the little old ladies of the Cambridge Residents Alliance, who are in this rather interesting codependent relationship with people like Stephanie Grond and her so-called Black Response Group, which, as far as I know, is really just Stephanie Grond. So they were there, no doubt, just sort of basically playing defense to make sure that, when people inevitably started raising issues about the removal of the ShotSpotters technology, that somehow they wouldn't get singled out. But maybe they should be singled out, honestly. For people who really don't get it, to somehow be speaking as if somehow they are representative of the people of that part of the city, or in the case of Ms. Garanda, somehow that she is somehow representative of Black people in that part of the city, which is nonsense. I mean, she speaks authoritatively about Black people about as much as I do about Eskimos in Alaska, right? So let's stop platforming people who have no business claiming to be representative, right? Let's just end that. It was interesting to me that around the, just maybe a week ago, thereabouts, even the Boston Globe rather unexpectedly came out with an editorial flat out calling into question the wisdom of the Cambridge City Council. Again, nobody's saying that had ShotSpotter technology been there, that the outcome would necessarily have been different. But they basically pointed out there simply was no rational basis for the vote that the city council took. In fact, there was a lot of tremendous amount of misinformation cast repeatedly, and which went largely unquestioned by these naive souls that are call themselves Cambridge City Councilors. At that meeting, the July 8th meeting, there was also sort of a hue and cry that there should be a special city council meeting to address this. Okay, so they delayed and delayed and delayed, but now for this coming Thursday, July 23rd, there is a special meeting that is going to take place 5:30 p.m. at City Council meet at City Hall, spurred by the death of Xavier Batista. But curiously, you would think that on the agenda, actually front and center is what should the city's response be, and what things should we be doing right now to sort of make this better. But instead, they recycle an agenda item from February that came out of the Community Safety Department, Nico Emack, one of the co-authors of this, which was sort of a generic report about violence prevention. And again, we all believe in violence prevention, but this was just a generic report issued by a department, the Community Safety Department, which in my view is basically has right from the get-go been a department in search of a purpose. It was created as a political response to some of the national incidents that happened in 2020. And honestly, if you ask the average person what is the function of the Community Safety Department, I don't know if that too many people could even tell you. By the way, I've met quite a few of the people who work there, and they're good people. I like them, right? But honestly, do we actually even need that department? I'm not so sure. I mean, it was all based on this notion about we want to have a non-police response to emergency to incidents, right? I mean, I'll say sort of as a side matter, that was also, there was a proposal from some of the same activists to enable this group that called itself Cambridge Heart, which continues to get funding, strange as that is to me, through the community safety department for doing some things that I have no idea what they do other than basically collect some money from the community safety department, you know. I kind of wish sometimes we had a city manager who could just be a little bit more forceful and just sort of call things as they are, rather than engaging in political accommodation endlessly, right? And sometimes it just takes a really horrible incident to sort of wake folks up to this. So anyway, I don't want to spend the entire time here on this program just talking about this, but this was something of significance to me, at least, you know, and maybe a lot of other people as well. And I want to be, if I didn't say it earlier, I want to really emphasize it here, is that most of the people who were at that community meeting were persons of color, and they made it abundantly clear that those people who represented themselves as somehow speaking for the black community in the port, back when the community safety, excuse me, the public safety committee was meeting to initially propose the removal of ShotSpotter, and I went to those meetings. I was probably the voice on the other side, but I chose not to speak. But the people assembled there made it very clear that those, the people who had spoken at that previous public safety committee, didn't were not at all representative, and they didn't speak for the people of that neighborhood. I mean, I'm really grateful for Councillor Simmons for speaking so truthfully about what people in her neighborhood really think and what they really want, as opposed to some of the left-wing loony bins characters who love to speak so authoritatively about things that they should really be just shutting up about. Now, there's one other thing I want to say, sort of on the political side here, which is that back, I guess it was in January, when these nine city councilors chose to elect Sumbul Siddiqui as mayor. Now, for the third time, she served. She was mayor in 2020 to 2021, then 22 to 23, and then Denise Simmons took over, and then she was returned to the position. I have some great misgivings about our current mayor, not the least of which, I mean, and never mind all the bullying accusations that were levied against her a few years ago. But back in 2020, she chose to appoint as the chair of the Public Safety Committee Quentin Zondervan, who is so, I thought nobody could be more hostile to police in the city than maybe Quentin Zondervan. So Ms. Siddiqui made him the chair of the Public Safety Committee, which be the one which would be overseeing, at least from a legislative point of view, matters having to do with public safety. That was a bewildering choice. And then when she was made mayor again the following term, she did it again. Okay, 2 years later, so this past January, she was made mayor. And I have it on good authority that in order to get the necessary five votes to be mayor, one of the conditions on that was that she appoint Aya Al-Zoubi as chair of the Public Safety Committee. Again, solid DSA person, about as hostile to police as you can possibly imagine. And Ms. Siddiqui's desire to be mayor seemed to outweigh all other considerations. But then again, maybe she's also as hostile to police and public safety as Mr. Zondervan was, and as Ms. Al-Zoubi was, is. Ms. Al-Zoubi chose to make it her first order of business, her first priority as chair of the Public Safety Committee, to basically bring in a handpicked select group of activists to paint an incredibly misrepresentative picture about the state of public safety, The threat of things like ShotSpotter technology. I mean, it didn't even matter that the Cambridge police were at that meeting, and they basically presented what I think was a rather accurate and truthful portrayal about how that technology works or doesn't work. That was somehow swamped by the prejudice of the chair of that public safety committee. Now, let's not let everybody else off the hook here. Ultimately, this came to a vote at the Cambridge City Council. There were two spineless councillors, namely Mr. Azim and Ms. Zuzi, who chose to vote present on the removal of ShotSpotter. After all, Ms. Zuzi feels Ms. Grand is just wonderful, even though she is as non-representative of a person as you'll ever find in this city. In fact, she actually lives in London. And I believe she still lives in London. Yes, there were five people who voted to remove it. And then there were two people, Councillors Flaherty and Simmons, who voted to retain it. And to their credit, continued to try and somehow correct for the what I believe was a terrible vote in the meetings that followed, unsuccessfully. You know, when you've got a room full of ideologues, it's pretty difficult to actually kind of wedge in a little bit of sense in there. You know, they're far too busy, you know, sort of reading their own words and believing only what they believe without listening to much of anybody. Anyway, so we'll see what happens. So on Thursday, there's this special meeting of the City Council, again, which would not even be taking place were it not for this murder. Even though in the call of the meeting, there's not a single reference to the murder. We'll see if there was some city councils are going to sort of make an issue out of that. Well, I hope they do. You know, is there a possibility that maybe the city council will reconsider or at least insist that if they don't want to have this particular technology, that we find a substitute technology that will enable Cambridge police to be able to respond, and not just police, but let's say emergency responders, ambulances, right, to be able to respond more quickly and effectively. Yeah. I'm not hopeful. I'm really not hopeful. By the way, I want to also take issue with one of our local publications. Again, and I know this will probably get me into some hot water. But some fool decided to write an opinion piece disguised as journalism in the Cambridge Day, basically saying, well, ShotSpotter would not have been effective anyway because, don't you know, it's turned off on July 4th because of all the fireworks. Well, first off, they don't know that. And even if it is, it operates differently because the sound of fireworks may very well be problematic. I don't know that at 4:30 in the morning, when there's very little fireworks going on, except maybe at Senate Park, quite honestly, because I can sometimes hear it, that, you know, do we actually know that technology would not have been in use at that time? You know, you suppose you can always just write an article for Cambridge Day and say that as fact. It doesn't make it fact, right? Anyway, we'll see what happens. I mean, maybe we can correct things and bring a little sense back. But it's really, really hard to say, you know.